5:15. Welcome, everyone. We will start on our consent agenda. Item number two, President or Vice President Randor, Finance Committee.
Thank you so much, President Kennedy. Resolution 42 is a resolution confirming assessment role for Superior Street reconstruction. Resolution 44 is a resolution confirming the assessment role for gas main for River West Kayak Bay. And Resolution 164 is a resolution authorizing interfund loan from the General Fund to the Capital Improvement Fund in the amount of $1,963,768 to provide financing for the lakefront restoration projects.
Councillors, any questions? I'm just wondering, I have a question if not. Could I just get a an explanation of how the funding will come from the general fund? And I know Director Fauché, your acting administrator, you had mentioned Josh Bailey, but if you wanted to start first.
Yeah, I think this one is best answered by Acting Director of Finance, Josh Bailey. So do you want to come on up?
Welcome. I know there's a button over there somewhere, and if you'd like to raise that up.
Oh, I'm okay. Thank you. President Kennedy, thank you for the question. To summarize, the reason we're doing this resolution is because the city was awarded a $13.5 million funding package from the state. In order to access that funding from the state, we have to prove to the state that we have full funding on this project. The state will not accept our intent to bond for this project as proof of full funding. So they are requesting that we do this interfund loan resolution to prove that we have the funding now. And then when Director Carlson bonds in the fall, the fund will be made whole. So basically for the general fund, it's not going to impact the general fund. We will incur cost out of our capital project fund during 2023 for this project. And in the fall of 23, we will bond and the capital project fund will be made whole. The general fund would be a backstop. If this thing crossed calendar years and the funds didn't come in when we bonded, we would have an interfund loan from the general fund. But for all intents and purposes, there will not necessarily be a cash transaction out of the general fund to our capital project fund. If there was so, the general fund would be repaid in calendar year 23 when we bond this fall.
And that's an assumption that we'll get the bonding, correct?
President Kennedy, so the state has already approved the $13.5 million bond funds, I believe, in the 2022 session. So Director Carlson is actively working on completing applications so we can officially draw those funds. The City Council in 2022 approved our 2023 bonding plan where the city is going to issue bonds. And there's a $5.5 million or so earmarked for lake walk and seawall improvements that the council is already committed to.
Any other councillors? Thank you. We will go on to Councillor Alstead, purchasing licensing.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. President Kennedy, I'm so sorry. I heard Gary laugh. Item number five, Resolution 139, resolution authorizing a 3-year professional services agreement with the CR Building Performance Specialist Incorporated for facility strategic planning services and utility tracking and energy manager support for an estimated annual amount of $50,000 and a total contract amount not to exceed $150,000. Item number six, Resolution 158, a resolution authorizing annual renewals to an agreement with Granicus Incorporated for software and managed services for an annual estimated amount of $55,000.
Councillor Alstead, councillors, any questions? I did have a question for Mr. Philby Williams. Certainly reach out to him. My question would just be about maybe looking at some of the scope of the work for the project. And I do see Councillor by Anderson.
I'm curious on resolution 139, tracking in energy manager support. I'm like, we have Mindy Granley. What else do we need to spend 150 grand on?
So, President Kennedy, Councillor Anderson. So this is a contract that would help analyze, plan, and prioritize future investments in city buildings, both balancing deferred maintenance and energy climate goals. It's in anticipation of funding the city will receive in the future to support building upgrades. This will help prioritize which projects to invest that funding in. There's some that we are anticipating, energy efficiency conservation block grants. We know that we're going to get some funding there to upgrade city buildings. We want to make sure that those investments have the greatest impact both on building maintenance but also on achieving our climate goals. So this will be a much deeper dive study than what our sustainability officer could conduct using building energy efficiency experts.
And not to make light of Mindy Granley and their work for sure, but I also think of Alex Jackson, who has been, you know, over the years has done stuff like this. So it just seems like this is taking it to a new layer.
Yeah, it's tapping into professional expertise that is much more comprehensive than.
Great, thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to Councillor Wall under personnel.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Item 7, Resolution 143, resolution approving proposed amendments to the specifications for the existing civil service classification of seasonal groundskeeper.
Not seeing any questions. We will move on to Councillor Anderson, Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Resolution 155, resolution of intent to sell or convey certain property near the Duluth International Airport. And just if we can get some, there's big documents attached to all this. I don't know if Director Fleet would be able to give us the breakdown on what this resolution really does for us.
Anderson, could I have you read in item number 9 as well, and then we'll have
that was thrown in there. Okay,
it's an added one.
All right, resolution 169, rescinding and replacing resolution number 22-1068, resolution of intent to sell or convey certain property near the Duluth International Airport. Thank you,
Director Fauché. Did you have any comments before we bring up Mr. Fleish? It sounds like.
No, President Kennedy, Councillor Anderson, I'd like to call up Director Fleege to talk through these two resolutions.
President Kennedy, councillors, or Councillor Anderson, the first resolution, let me start in reverse order. The 169 rescinds the resolution that we passed rescinds 22-1068, which is really had some errors in it. The attorney's office, when they reviewed it, it gave the impression that we were conveying both the land and the building, and that was not the intent. So that's why we're rescinding that. And then the 155 resolution is really got basically everything pulled together at that point. When we sent through the 22-1068, we had just sent a request to EDA to provide a federal release on the property. And maybe just to ground counselors, that building, it was 20 years ago that the city applied for a grant with EDA. The city issued bonds as well. And there was other funding sources, I think they came from DEDA, and ultimately Cirrus themselves fronted any of the difference that was left in the final construction costs. And the intent was to build an incubator space that would facilitate aircraft expansion, primarily for Cirrus, but it could have been really for any number of businesses. But Cirrus quickly took possession of the building and filled it and has grown out of that ever since. So So really, at the time that the agreements were all put together 20 years ago, within the lease agreement, they basically had identified a way for this building to be able to be liquidated, because the city really doesn't like owning buildings long term if they're not truly for city use. So the intent was to be able to either continue a lease or to be able to transact this building. So the city set in motion in October to request a federal release, which we did, and we finally got our federal release in January. So 155 really begins the process of doing the transaction, and it'll be a two-step transaction. We'll transact the building to DITA at a nominal cost, and then the Cirrus will pay market rate for the building, and the city will receive $3.4 million basically for the proceeds, which was the price that had been identified when the building went into service 20 years ago. So none of us were here when that deal was put together, but that is the basis of the deal. It is a key building for them. It really does tie to the MRO ultimately, because a lot of the functions that used to exist in that incubator space are moving over to the new facility, the Innovation Center, and that frees up additional capacity for them to do additional manufacturing in that space. So that's kind of the cliff notes of the whole of the transaction. So tonight you'll be seeing an ordinance at the end, which begins the transfer, the first read to transfer the property to DITA. And then there'll be a development agreement by second read. We're working out the last of the details for the transaction. So that is kind of where we're at. Cirrus is anxious to get control of the building. They are paying almost $1,000 a day in rent up there at that building. And the original lease for that was really envisioned to pay for debt service and the mortgage. And that, we basically retired the mortgage and the debt service in October. So it just takes time for securing federal releases on these buildings and things like that. So that's the background and why we have two resolutions before council tonight.
So if I heard you correctly, in 20 years ago, the building was valued at $3.14 million or something. But it's 20 years later and we're selling it at market rate from 20 years ago.
Yeah. So buildings do depreciate, and we did, as part of this, DITA did commission, independent, appraisal of the building, and they did appraise the building at like $4.8 million. And without going into all the details, the way that the lease was structured, they had envisioned that the city would get paid back the $3.4 million, and then the next like $1.7 million was going to go to Cirrus, because they paid the difference of the overage on the project, because the project, like projects even 20 years ago, went over budget. So that project did as well. So when they finally crafted this exit strategy, it was always envisioned that the city would get the first $3.4 million, and then the next, I think it was like $1.7 million would go to Cirrus to repay the investment that they made above and beyond, and then the city would get anything on top of that. So if we had gone out to auction, that would have played out. But the reason we're not going to auction is because they are a critical partner, and it's really economic development, and that's why we're transferring to DITA. And quite frankly, the building, is appraised at 4.8, so it falls well below that. I think the trigger was like, $6 million or whatever. If it had been more than that, then the city would have gotten proceeds. So we think it's a pretty good deal, and you will get copies of all of that when we bring the transaction, because you'll have to approve that as well. So there'll be another step that'll come before council for the final transaction. So
thank you.
And we're happy to share the appraisal. I think the replacement of the building would be like $11.4 million. So, I mean, you know, they look at revenue stream, they look at comp properties. So it's a fairly comprehensive appraisal, you know, that was done on the property. So happy to share that with counselors if they're interested. So
very much.
Thank you, Vice President Randorf.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Thank you, Director Flees. Just a follow-up question. As the leaser, we're making, you said, $1,000 a day, $360,000 a year. In 10 years, $3.6 million. Isn't it better for us just to rent it to them?
It is, but the intent was really, well, quite frankly, it was to cover the debt service. So it was really to make sure that the city wasn't put at risk. So it far exceeds, you know, what would be a reasonable rent even. So so they always envisioned that at the end, when we came to the 20-year life of this building, that some action would be taken. Yeah, I mean, I think our recommendation to council as DETA, because they are a large employer, and it really is connected to the MRO, which we only sold that for $1. Here we feel like we're coming out, you know, back to where, you know, the funds will flow back to the city, the $3.4 million. So.
Councilor Anderson.
Thank you, President Kennedy. What are we going to do with $3.4 million, Chris?
That will be the council. Will
the council will decide.
Good answer, right? So.
We'll go on to Councilor Mayo, Public Works and Utilities.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Resolution 138 is authorizing the purchase of delivered Class 5 gravel, 3/4 inch. Crushed washed rock and washed sand from Ready Mix Incorporated for an amount not to exceed $482,362. Resolution 148 is dedicating a perpetual utility easement to the City of Duluth in its proprietary capacity over, under, and across property in the plat of Lester Park, 4th Division. And Resolution 149 is approving the award of a contract to Northland Constructors of Duluth, Incorporated, in cooperation with St. Louis County for reconstruction of Morris Thomas Road, CSAH 56, from Piedmont Avenue to Haynes Road, CSAH 91, with a city share in the amount of $1,322,456.75. And if I may, Councilor Kennedy. Thank you. I had a question about Resolution 148, just wanting some more information about the purpose of acquiring that. I believe it's a water line that we're acquiring, and I was reading in the statement of purpose, I think it said it could not service any future development, so just kind of curious the intent behind that, if anyone happens to know.
President Kennedy, Councilor May, perhaps I could call up Director Fleet. This one.
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, yes. This is an easement that services the existing clubhouse now. And that's the intention as we were looking at doing the transfer, which I think will be coming to council soon to transfer. Well, council's approved the transfer. We just were getting the title work done to do the final transfer to DETA of the parcels that are going to be marketed, which, if you'll recall, is a very southern portion of the golf course. But this easement is required basically to, you know, to support the existing clubhouse and to just clean things up as they're finishing out the title work. They identified that we didn't have this. So that is kind of the background for this. So it isn't really to serve development. It really is to serve what the infrastructure is now.
Okay, sounds great. I was just curious. Thanks.
Yep.
We'll move on to Councilor Tominick, Public Safety.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Resolution 147, authorizing a contract with SciCon Inc. for structural repairs to the Library Depot parking ramp for an amount not to exceed $157,659.
Raise and authorities, please.
I'm Thank you, President Kennedy. Resolution 150, authorizing agreement with NEO Partners Incorporated for professional community engagement services related to renovation of the Duluth Public Library for an amount not to exceed $45,335. Resolution 151, authorizing an agreement with MSR Design for professional architect design services related to renovation of the Duluth Public Library for an amount not to exceed $214,658. Resolution 157, authorizing a funding agreement with the Duluth Library Foundation to accept a contribution up to $150,000 to help pay for development of a community-informed pre-design for conversion of the downtown library to a multi-purpose regional community service center. Resolution 161, authorizing an amendment to agreement L30521 with LHB Incorporated for professional landscape, architectural, and coastal engineering services for Duluth Lake Walk and Brighton Beach for an increase of $98,940 and a total amount not to exceed $446,827. Resolution 162, authorizing application to the United States Department of Transportation for up to $8,200,000 for rebuilding American infrastructure with sustainability and equity grant for resilient rehabilitation of the Lake Walk. Resolution 163, authorizing city officials to execute funding agreement with the Chester Bowl Improvement Club to provide $125,000 for the design and construction of a bridge crossing Chester Creek.
Thank you, Councillor Tominick.
Thank you, President Kennedy. I just wanted to point out how exciting this is, the three resolutions pertaining to the library. One is that the Library Foundation will partner with us to share the cost. They will be putting in $150,000 so that we can do two things. We can hire a company to do a community-wide engagement for use and design of the library, and then to hire an architectural firm to draw plans for how we might make that library much more usable and add workforce development into that design.
Thank you.
If I may, I think I'll ask to have that pulled so we can give that the attention it needs.
One item that you want pulled?
Well, we would probably pull all three.
Because the community engagement one actually is 150 that it speaks to.
It's
the other one, 151, is the pre-design potential bonding. It looks like 157,
yep,
again, is pre-design. Want all three?
Yes, please. Yeah, 150, 151, and 157. And might I ask if Director Philby Williams, do you want to comment on any of this exciting news about the library?
We could certainly save it for Monday night if you would like, but I do have a question on one of them. We maybe save that for Monday night?
That's what Director Philby Williams wants, and it's up to you.
It actually is up to you.
Well, sure, we'll save it for Monday.
Okay, thank you. As long as you're okay with that.
I'm great, thank you.
Since they're pulled, we'll save it for Monday, so I'm guessing you'll be here Monday. I do have a question. Let me find it. It is on, actually, regarding the community engagement. I'm wondering how this project, as it's proposed, would be able to maybe move east and west and even over in the Duluth Heights area, but I speak to east and west to the libraries, satellite libraries, and that this is sort of the main place downtown, but how will those services be spread across the city? And not necessarily asking people to come downtown for the services. I guess I have an idea around that, you know, because we're using a lot of virtual amenities. Would that be available? And is that maybe something we could put into this concept? I don't know who I'm asking.
Yeah, so President Kennedy, I can
asking
start,
everybody.
I can start by responding and then Director Philby Williams can add his thoughts. So I think that it is, you raise an important point about accessibility, not just to library services, but with workforce development brought into the, under the same roof as the main library. I think it opens up an opportunity, a new opportunity to look at ways to leverage that stronger partnership and integration of services and think about how we can bring in the east and west branches of the library to also access those services. So I think that that is something that is going to be a really important discussion to raise during the community engagement portion. And and I think it's an opportunity for some creative problem solving. I know that in workforce development, we have been talking about and have been doing more, providing more services offsite to try to make our services more accessible. You know, I think with, particularly with the West Duluth branch, one of the challenges we've run into is just space. It's a very small physical space, and there hasn't been a good site to have private meetings with clients like we normally do. But I think there's room for some creative problem solving there, and I'd be very interested in having that discussion as part of the community engagement and sort of the resulting thinking that we do.
There's a bigger space out west, but I won't name that one. I have a few people in the queue. You may still be on. And then we'll move over to Councillor Anderson.
No, I think I'm okay for the.
Okay. Vice President Randorf.
Thank you, President Kennedy. We had a constituent email us regarding concerns that the project for the library is taking away from the core of what a library exists to do. Could you maybe respond to that constituent?
I think so, President Kennedy, Councillor Randorf, I can speak to that a little bit, and then I'll invite Director Fidley Williams to join. So I think what's happening is that the purpose of what a library is evolving in real time, and it's evolving in response to what the public is asking. It's evolving based on who's showing up to use the library and what they're needing from their time there. I think the library staff right now are working very hard to respond to that within sort of their scope of work and their available resources. And I think this project gives us an opportunity to innovate and meet the community where it's at. It's not going to do away with traditional library services. That's still going to be a very important part of it. It's going to add some additional resources, services, things that the public wants out of their library. So, Director Fidley Williams, did you want to add any thoughts to that?
President Kennedy, thank you for the question. The in addition to CIO Fauché's comments, I would simply say that prior councils have already actually made a decision by permanently eliminating 20% of our library workforce to substantially downsize what we actually have the professionals to deliver on this site. And we do not, as a result of that, those cuts, have enough people to safely and effectively operate a building of this sprawling character. And in fact, one of the many drivers of the patron and employee safety issues that we have had is the extent to which we have a skeleton crew that is spread in oftentimes too often in isolation in out of view nooks and crannies. And so we are right sizing this building to a staff that has already been downsized. And I think that train left the station 15 years ago. And in addition, I would say that increasingly in this era, space is certainly important, but it's less important than it once was when libraries kept every copy of every periodical for the last 100 years, and that took up 10,000 square feet. We don't do that anymore. So there is some capacity opportunity in the evolution of what libraries do to have a measured reduction in square footage. We are open to the possibility that that the pre-design that this process produces might, to some limited extent, increase, add some square footage to the existing building, which would still result in both library and workforce development having less square footage than they do today. But there is an opportunity to kind of reduce that loss of square footage. We're thinking about all of those issues. We share those concerns, but we feel like we're on a path where we can produce an outcome that is going to be an enormous net positive for both workforce and library.
Mr. Mayo.
Thank you, President Kennedy. I just have two questions. The first being kind of if you could, either of you could walk us through the process of this and kind of what I learned today about pre-design and what will follow that with the full-on design if we're you know, put into state bonding requests. And then what this will set in motion today, or well, Monday, I guess, with the resolution on the community engagement process and what that will look like moving forward.
Yeah, so President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, I'll speak to the community engagement, and then Williams can speak to that. So the community engagement, that part was really advocated for by workforce development, library staff, and the Library Foundation to make sure that we have a truly equity-driven and comprehensive engagement component of this effort. You know, we wanted to make sure that we had enough capacity and thoughtfulness built in to make sure that a diverse range of voices participating in the process. And so, you know, what's going to happen with the resolution that is contracting an engagement firm? They're highly qualified professionals. They've done community engagement projects a number of times, and they will come and get to know our community and, you know, use various methods to gather input. I think the input that they gather will inform the pre-design process and ultimately the architectural design, but it'll also give us and library staff really important feedback that we can use now, starting today, on how to improve our services, how to adapt to what the community needs, add programs, you know, things that we would like to know right now and can act on in the immediate term. Talk about the design.
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, the when we say pre-design, we're using a legal term that in state statute that speaks to the process by which local governments can submit facility capital projects to the state for consideration. And so a pre-design per the state includes all necessary technical assessments of a facility, a schematic design and floor plan, and independent engineers' estimates. The first step in making a request for support in the 24 bonding session is actually to submit a pre-design in 2023. And so one of the functions of these agreements is to position us to be able to be eligible for and competitive for a request to the state to cover one half of this project. I should say, your authorization of this design agreement on Monday would only approve, authorize design to the very limited level of pre-design if we decided to move forward with this project. We secured the funding, we decided to move forward. It would require an additional subsequent authorization from council for us to go to full design with these this selected design firm.
Just to clarify, while there may be a decrease in physical square footage for both of these units, there's no anticipated decrease in staffing levels for workforce development or the library.
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, that is correct. There is neither the intention to grow our staff in association with this project nor to shrink it.
Yeah, and President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, I can say the same for workforce development. You know, our staffing levels are very much tied to our grant funding, but as long as our grant funding stays stable, then the staffing levels would stay stable.
Councilor Anderson.
Thank you, President Kennedy. So bringing this these resolutions to the council is going to elevate this conversation for the public. You know, I expect that Peter will be writing about this. You know, I mean, as the dialogue is important for us, but as important as the dialogue is, there's also the intention that's made by votes of the council. So I'm just curious, you know, Mr. Philby Williams or Director Philby Williams just mentioned, you know, there will be subsequent votes on this, but it seems to me that it's important that we are really well grounded in what we're doing right now, because we're setting an intention to spend money, and we're also saying to the administration, yes, move forward in this direction. With that said, I had a conversation with Director Phil Williams earlier And I'll ask you, in your position as director and acting CAO, is there what is the level of urgency that this vote happen on these resolutions this coming Monday?
Yeah, President Kennedy, Councilor Anderson. So as Director Fridley Williams highlighted, these resolutions, you know, one is just to accept funding from the Duluth Library Foundation to support part of the project. So there needs to be council action to be able to accept those funds. The other two are just for us to be able to move forward with this pre-design process, which is essential, and the timing of it is essential to be able to pursue bonding funding in 2024. So we are working on a deadline. There's the work that we need to complete and submit to the state has to be done by October, and we there's a lot that needs to happen between now and then, and the longer we delay on approving the contracts, the less time we have for meaningful community engagement, really substantial pre-design services. So our hope is that council will move forward with this step so that we can really spend the time that we need to spend on the community engagement and pre-design and get those moving as quickly as we can. If we delay to another council meeting, you know, that's 2 weeks to a month less time that we have to work on the process. The deadline for the state stays the same.
Appreciate that. And I appreciate also Councilor Timonik having these pulled from the consent so that we can work to them on Monday night. Thank you.
Vice President Randor.
Thank you so much, President Kennedy. I think I'll ask a question, but I think it's really important for the public to understand the funding mechanisms that are behind this, because I think one of the first perceptions they'll have is, how can we possibly be doing such a large remodel on our library when what this council has been talking about for the last 6 months is the nature of our budget and our, trying to hold our taxes. And so thank you, Director Philby Williams, for walking me through it the other day. If you could maybe repeat the funding mechanisms. We know there's a bonding piece to it. We know there's federal funds. We know this pre-design is an important piece of getting that funding machine moving. So perhaps we could just talk about that out loud for a minute.
Yeah, sure. President Kennedy, Councilor Randorf, Director Fidley Williams, would you like to come up and speak to that?
President Kennedy, Councilor Randorf, thank you for the question. I think as background, we have a now 43-year-old asset with most of its original systems still in place. It is beyond its lifespan, and we have a non-discretionary obligation to preserve and renew this city asset. We are very conscious of the importance to our citizens and to you that we exhaust every opportunity to find a way to renew this asset that places the minimum possible burden on our property taxpayers. And the approach that we are taking is designed in part to maximize our ability to access outside dollars to pay for renewal of this local asset. The first and most important piece of that is the opportunity to compete for state bonding funds, which normally covers 50% of the cost. There are also federal funds as part of one of the prior pandemic-related stimulus bills for a project of this very specific sort that co-locates workforce development, education, libraries, and public health. We will enjoy some operational savings as a result of co-locating. So there would be an opportunity for us to redirect some of those operating savings to capital debt service. And of course, we do have a strong partnership with the Duluth Library Foundation. And though they are far from making a commitment to raising funds for construction of the building, they have expressed interest in that. Our hope is that all of those sources of outside money will reduce the portion that that taxpayers must cover to a necessary minimum.
Thank you.
I have one question. Could you speak to Mr. Philby Williams? If you could speak to, you made a comment about public health. I do have some understanding of some of the community members who are being serviced down at the library have asked an organization that I support to come down there and really give them services and things that they need. So you mentioned public health. Will they be becoming a partner, and would we be able to get some county funding for this?
President Kennedy, I think that the there are two pillars for this project, programmatically, workforce development and library. There is opportunity and need, I think, to identify and incorporate the possibility of other complementary community services, one of which might be related to strategies and services for improving the wellness and health of our population. I think that piece of the puzzle is the least well-defined piece of the puzzle, and we will look forward to getting input from you and the community about what that might look like.
Thank you. I do look forward to maybe an intergovernmental conversation around that. I'll go to...
Yeah. Thank you, President Kennedy. I was curious if there are any similar models that were studied for co-locating workforce development and public library services, either in the state of Minnesota or across the country, that kind of maybe led you to pursue this.
Yeah, President Kennedy, Councilor Mays. So this is actually, we're sort of on the cutting edge of what's becoming a national trend. There's, in fact, a proposal as part of the reauthorization of the Workforce Investment Opportunity Act. That's one of the core sources of federal funding of our work, to add in libraries as designated sites for provision of federally funded workforce services. So I think the synergies between what libraries do and are and what workforce centers do and are, is it's becoming clear, and they're sort of merging together as both evolve. So I think we are for sure not the ones, the first ones to come up with this idea. In Minnesota, St. Paul is looking at it, Ramsey County, you know, there's other places in the state that are sort of in the same place thinking about the same thing.
Thank you.
Councilor Tominick.
Thank you, President Kennedy. I had no idea that that library is 43 years old. But when you said that, Director Philby Williams, it spoke to me about the importance of libraries. You know, we have a tremendous dedication to our kids in this community, our school children, but the mayor gave a really tender and impassioned talk when she had the news conference about how she used to take her kids on the bus with suitcases so they could load up their books and bring them home. Same thing in my family. Our house is just filled with books. And now we have to think about all parts of the age spectrum. My husband takes out so many books from Libby that I feel guilty, and his birthday present is usually a donation to the library because he's able to use so and read so many books. I also think it's important to look at the community involvement in the payment for this. The Friends of the Library have that huge book sale that benefits the community in getting books out there, but also raises money that then they donate to the library. And the foundation board is tremendously generous with the library. I think over the years, Director Philby Williams, they've donated over $1,040,000 to the library. So we have tremendous community involvement. We're not trying to ask just the taxpayers to pay for it. And so many people in our community benefit from it.
Thank you, Councilor Tominick. I think there was a question in there,
no.
But I'm...
there was not.
That maybe...
Just that hearing it was...
You could repeat that on Monday night.
Yeah. Okay.
It's recorded, so you can...
I'll go back and listen. Thank you, President Kennedy.
Councilor Mayo, go ahead.
Thank you, President Kennedy.
Councilor Tominick.
And thank you, Councilor Tominick. I also just had one quick question about Resolution 163 about the Chester Bowl Bridge. I was curious, Director Philby Williams, is that the bridge that was already constructed to cross for the ski purposes? Or maybe Director Fauché has more information on that.
Yeah, President Kennedy, Councilor Mayu, that is the bridge that was already constructed. This is a pass-through of county funding their contribution toward the project.
Okay, fantastic. Trying to figure out if there was another bridge that was being constructed somewhere else. Okay.
Anything else on that, councilors? Otherwise, we'll move on to the ordinances to be read for the first time. Councilor Anderson, Did you have a question or are you reading?
I do have a question, please. On Resolution 161, Director Fauché or CEO Fauché, the Lake Walk in Brighton Beach, is this action, we've of course been spending money regularly and consistently and getting grants and doing all kinds of amazing work on both the Lake Walk and as it proceeds right through Brighton Beach. I'm just curious about the project, the process of the as we move toward completion of the Brighton Beach renovation.
President Kennedy, Councillor Anderson, I want to call up Director Philby Williams to speak to that one.
President Kennedy, Councillor Anderson, thank you for that important question. There are three components to our original public waterfront bonding request. There's the deck seawall, there is the downtown lake walk, and there is Brighton. The seawall and Brighton projects are funded almost entirely by federal money and state money, and we hope to be able to post those projects for bids within the next few weeks. Seawall project is more involved and will take more time. I think the hope with Brighton is that we could begin construction midsummer in hopes of having a mostly restored and renewed asset by next year. The seawall, it will probably take at least 18.
It's probably not related to this, but is the parking lot up at Brighton, where is that in the process of?
President Kennedy, Councillor Anderson, there will be an addition of parking, not in abundance, but certainly more than has been available in the past.
Thank you.
Councillors, we will move on to ordinances to be read for the first time. Councillor Anderson, I believe you're.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Ordinance 7, an ordinance designating 230 East 4th Street as a Duluth Heritage Preservation Landmark. Ordinance 8, authorizing the conveyance of certain property near the Duluth International Airport to the Duluth Economic Development Authority for nominal consideration.
Any questions? Do we need a clarification on the ordinance and how it's connecting to the two resolutions? The first read, so we'll get a second read on it, although the resolutions would pass, not on consent, but. So could I maybe get a clarification on the ordinance and how it connects to the two resolutions?
Sure, President Kennedy, let me call up Director Fleege to talk through that.
President Kennedy, ordinance item 21, ordinance 8, is really the first read of the conveyance in that two-step process. So the first step will be to convey the property to DEDA, and then DEDA, through a development agreement, will transact the building to Cirrus. So that is the process. So that is the first read for ordinance 8.
And all property is conveyed through an ordinance?
Correct.
Okay. Goodness, Forsman. I haven't That's said me. Your name.
Thank you, President Kennedy.
2 months.
Director Fleege, there have been times when we've tabled resolutions that correspond with ordinances on a first read. Do you have any preference on doing that this time, or would you prefer that the resolutions get voted on at our meeting on Monday?
I would say I would defer to council as to what you would prefer. I think we're serious as anxious to make sure we're moving along with this, but I think if you want to pull those, we could offer consent.
I'm not. I was just asking if you had a preference. It sounds like you would prefer that we'd probably just vote on the resolutions on Monday.
I think that would be appropriate, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess I have a follow-up question with that. So can the other things happen without conveying the land?
So the land will not be conveyed. The land stays with the city. It's part of the, and that was a little of the confusion in the December action that council took. We didn't specify it clearly enough. So I think, you know, the attorney's office thought we should recraft that to make it crystal clear that it is just the building that's being conveyed and not the property. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'll noodle that around in my head a little bit. But yeah. Go ahead, Councilor Forsman.
Director Fleege, is the property owned by the Airport Authority?
The property, I believe this property is owned by the city.
It of is. Okay. Interesting. Is.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
Councilor Anderson, are you?
Thank you, President Kennedy and Director Fleege. I believe on Ordinance 7. It's not a common thing for the council for there to be ordinance about creating a preservation landmark. And this, I believe I spoke with Deputy Director Fulton about this a little bit, but the other councilors have not heard anything about why this this ordinance is coming to us.
That is an excellent question. I assume this was the process. It is being sponsored by the Heritage Committee that approved moving it forward for council approval, but I'm going to defer to my the city attorney to answer those questions.
Thank you, President Kennedy, Councilor Anderson. I can look into this a little bit more, but my understanding is that the property owner asked for this, and part of the process for one way of getting historic preservation, this landmark, is by going through city council. So I think there's a few different ways of getting these kinds of designations, and one is to go through the commission, then to city council. I don't think it's super common for property owners to ask for this, which would be why you haven't seen it before.
Thank you, Attorney St. George and Director Flajan. Yes, as I understand, we really don't see this very often at all, and it is my understanding that the property owner has requested this. And there's a big, long attachment if anybody wants to read it there. And it's also my understanding that this is not creating any kind of burden for the city. There's no kind of financial burden or, you know, we're not locking up property. You know, this is a building that is actively used as a duplex or as a fourplex. So there's people living in it and they will continue to do that. And then for whatever reason, the people want to have this designation. I'll yield. Thank you.
Owl, you are out. Would you like to speak?
Question. I guess what, because very similar to what Councillor Anderson was asking on, you know, seeing this, and I was a little curious as to why it was coming through council action. I'm just curious as to what the benefits, is it just preserving that site as a historical site? Trying to understand, like, is this something that we can expect more of? Is this something, like, why would a property owner specifically want to have the site be designated as a historic site?
President Kennedy, Councillor Owl, I will look into that. That is a great question. I assume it has to do with wanting to preserve it more and that there may be some tax credits or something like that involved, but let me find out for sure and I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Yep. Councilor Mayo.
Thank you, President Kennedy. And I just wanted to add to, I believe, what Councilor Anderson was touching on with the property owner pursuing this. We both were at that planning commission meeting, I think, where this was discussed. And it sounded like they were also going to make investments into the property in terms of bringing it back to the historic era that it was built in. So props to that property owner for investing in this way in this house. And I think it's great that this doesn't mean any burden for the city as well. It's just simply a designation at this point. So just wanted to.
Councilor Mayo, I think I have a question around serving on the Planning Commission and understanding some of the processes for whether it be land or buildings to become a designated landmark. Typically, I remember correctly, there was some state designations that needed to happen. Which trumps the other, state or local? So if they wanted to go to the state level for funding, and we have designated a landmark, that would maybe support them. But is there any contradictory reasons why we would do it and they're not going to that next level or that level that I've known that people have gone to get a landmark designation?
President Kennedy, I will add that to the list of questions.
And I believe I'm curious because if there's a precedent set here, if we're going to be seeing more of these, maybe the Modernization Ordinance Task Force can really look into this maybe sooner rather than later after we're in. Okay, we have one more ordinance, I believe.
Amending Duluth City Code Section 41-32, modifying council approval requirements for non-competitively bid contracts.
I do not see any counselors in the queue. We have a few of them that were pulled. I think that's Resolution 150, 151, and 157. All right, counselors, we're adjourned.